on the Red Pill News. Red Pill News, Red Pill News, take the red pill. I say every day I see people and they're going crazy, man. You know, it doesn't take much to push somebody over the edge. I am a master at it, apparently. I don't know. It just kind of, when people melt down, they melt down. And, you know, some people just can't handle much. And now we're seeing it, you know, in the world of violence in our lives. I mean, people, there's shootings every day, multiple shootings. We've gone beyond one a week or something. I mean, it's a free-for-all now. You have a problem because for a long time, you know, all right. You're supposed to have laws, right? And those laws are limitations of what you can do, what you cannot do, okay? Most reasonable people don't want to go out and hurt somebody else, you know, even if they're really angry, right? You don't let your anger take control of you. You want to be able to be centered and not let – it's a secondary emotion. You don't want it to control you, you know. You want to be able to control yourself. And if you control yourself, then the people around you who are angry, one, seem really funny. Because you ever watch somebody when they get really angry, like look at their face and like their little like veins popping out of their heads. Or people cry too, especially women when they fall apart. Or, you know, anybody really. They look like so just fools. It's just kind of funny to me. They're kind of funny. Maybe I'm a sadist. I don't know. I just think that calm is best. Content is best. You know, yeah, people are going to make you upset. You know, it's up to you how upset you get, you know, and what degree you want to take it to, because then you become out of control. If the ones who are out of control are out there reacting, something at some point is going to stop them, whether it's another person or police officer or the event, because these people usually go out and do something terrible. And then within that event, that's when, you know, police, courts, jails come into play, or hospitals and morgues, right? I mean, the ones who are unreasonable, you can't reason with. So these people pay attention. They may be unreasonable, but it's not like they don't watch CNN. Or MSNBC or Fox News, right? Whatever their agenda is, I'm sure there's an agenda-based news hole for them to go and partake in, right? To heat up their anger and frustration even more, you know, which is all that they do. These are race-baiting, hate-baiting news channels, not even news. I don't know what they are. It's a distorted propaganda is all that it really is. You're not going to get the news out of CNN or Fox or any of these people. You know, they're a bunch of serpents as from what I see. Okay. But the extremists, especially the ones who are unreasonable, watch this, and they're consumers. They consume this information, disinformation. They arm themselves in many cases. And then at some point when they finally snap, they go out and snap on innocent people who are just living their lives, and then they end up dead or severely injured or whatever. Now we're seeing this daily. You know, there's a free-for-all because the powers that be for several years have lifted that ceiling of what you should and should not do, how you should react and shouldn't react. Instead, they were greased like pigs and set up fire and say, go out there and destroy. And this is what you're seeing now. We talked about this on this very same show quite a while ago of what the future was going to hold. You know, even before COVID, we talked about all of that. COVID too. You know, it's easy to see if you have that kind of clarity, you know, and just not, you're not clouded with all of people's haze. You know, it's not hard to put scenarios together, especially with the way people are acting, reacting, becoming more selfish, more angry. In their daily travels, look what's going on. People getting killed because people telling somebody else, oh, you got to put a mask on. Getting shot in the head, your cashier, you get shot in the head. And the ones who are unreasonable, you can't tell them to put a mask on because they're looking for the altercation. They're looking for the justification. You know, people with their like organized religion and how many years have gone on that they've used those things to attack and murder others and destroy and control. Today's no different. You think today's any different? You think that when you flip on the TV and you see all these drug ads and all these other commercials that are just ramming stuff down your throat and programming you, I find them to be offensive. I don't watch television. I stay away from it. If I watch TV, I have to be ready on the remote to mute it when these horrible commercials. I mean, if my TV was that smart, it would filter out all the commercials and put pictures up of puppies and kittens or something. I want to see other than these people with their skin conditions or whatever, and these drug ads, they don't even reach anyone, these drug ads. They're just there because we taxpayers pay these companies to do it. There's government funds. We pay them to do it, you know, and because it floats these media channels, right? And it's just, you know, it's the young generation that grows up on this processed garbage, right? And you can look at different generations and how they survive. You know, my mom's generation, they lived into late 70s, early 80s, 90s. People keep going, right? Now, you see the younger generation before that, they're dying earlier, you know? And then my generation in between, Generation X, you know, it's a hodgepodge, you know? I mean, it's hard to say at this point, you know, of course, because you don't have the numbers, but it comes down to that middle generation who was brought up on, mine too, for that matter, when corporations were allowed to put whatever chemicals they wanted in food, no restrictions. They grease the lobbyists, send them to D.C. with a bunch of money, and, you know, give these politicians whatever they can give them to vote for what they needed to get these chemicals put in your food. There's lists and lists and lists of stuff that shouldn't even be in food that's in food. Margarine itself is not even an edible product. They made it for housing, for contracting, some kind of thing with contracting, you know. So yeah, you have to say, okay. All right, I'll just give it to you like this. Me personally, I don't trust anybody, anything, anytime, anywhere, you know, and I have to, trust is earned. So when it comes to corporations, I know the only thing they care about is money. They don't care about delivering a good product. They just care about the money and whatever they need to do to get it into you and take that money out of your pocket, they're going to do it. So when you, I mean, you can go online and look at all the lists of you know, all these cereal manufacturers, children's cereal, and other people eat it too. Kellogg's started off being an honest company, right? And then it got dishonest quickly. You know, Kellogg, he became one of the biggest robber barons, you know, using and abusing people. You know, they don't care. You know, they care about money. I don't care about you and your family. It's not about pride in their product. It's about money. And, you know, if they get caught at some place down the road, like Johnson & Johnson's putting asbestos in their baby powder, and they knew it, and they knew that it caused cancer, and they did it anyway, and their attitude was, well, we're going to keep doing it until we get caught, then they did. And they paid out a couple of bucks. And then that's it. And their stock went back up again after that, right? Because that's what they do. But go down the list of stuff that, you know, you're not supposed to eat, and all these chemicals in food. Chemicals. I love the vegetarian stuff. That's my favorite, right? My mom always said, your food should only have one ingredient, right? So you look at these vegetarian type of whatever the Morningstar Farms and stuff like that, right? You can't even pronounce the stuff that they put in there. And this is supposed to replace meat in some way. They even make hot dogs and hamburgers and chicken nuggets. It's fake chicken, ficken, what, right? And trying to sell people who eat meat to switch over and eat their product. I got to tell you, man, I've had Morningstar Farm stuff. It damages my stomach. It's nasty stuff. You know, it tastes like chemicals. It tastes like processed chemicals. And they're like, no, you got to put it in a hamburger bun and put cheese on it and all the fixings and whatever. Yeah, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like a burger with a chemical burger in there. And it's full of chemicals. It's not good to eat. It's not safe. But people don't care. You know, ones who are going to swear by it. I love my Morningstar Farm. By the way, I've never heard anybody say that. I think people guilt purchase it sometimes, or it's a healthy alternative. Now they have other things that are far more superior. Apparently, you know, you have fast food restaurants selling alternative burgers. That's fine if you're going to do that. But what does it take to make it? And I know that you're, you know, gearing towards saving animals' lives and that type of thing. Sure. You know, I'm all for that too. But not for the chemical part. And you can certainly be a vegetarian and not eat Morningstar Farms and that. All the vegetarians I know, as a matter of fact, and I know a lot, including hardcore vegans, don't go near things like Morningstar Farms. And they don't want something that looks like a hot dog, right? They're happy doing what they do. And, you know, even tofu is a processed food. So there's things you can always do to stay away from the machine. And the machine wants your money. That's all it cares about, is your money. Look in the produce section. Why do you think stuff is so expensive? Produce is a 600% markup in supermarkets. And they would rather let it go bad on the shelf than lower the price, give people a deal. They don't give you a deal until that stuff turns brown. Brown. Stores around here, the meat's got to be green. And it ain't St. Patty's Day. It's got to be green for them to put a manager's special on there. Ugh. Really? And they give you 50 cents off. If you survive, you saved 50 cents. Come on, man. The Pepto-Bismol is going to cost you more than that. But this is what I don't understand about the story. You know? I used to shop at this place, a Shoppers Club card place called BJ's, right? And then they had a whole wall of mushrooms that just went bad, and they left them there. And it's just like this brown section of smeg. And it just makes you wonder, like, and they had just gotten the shipment. A lot of those places buy things when they're pretty mature, which so they get a deal and they buy them wholesale. They ship them out right away, their centers, and they put them up. And they're only good. I mean, if you notice, you buy produce in those places, they're only good for a few days, and then they go bad. If you buy produce from your main supermarket, most likely it'll stay fresh for a week and a half or somewhere around there, you know? I learned all this from New York City, man. I used to work in the clubs, and then afterwards I'd go to this South Street Seaport, you know? Well, there's a big fruit and vegetable place there, fish, and, you know, the markets are there, right? Well, you can buy wholesale and that type of thing. So I used to go, like, buy these big 20-pound bags of Valencia oranges, man. Juiciest oranges you've ever seen. You see, now, if you live in a place like New York City, the stuff that's shipped there, you have your really super fresh that goes out right away to the stands and people will buy right away, you know, and even that stays good for a week or so, but it was picked at its ripeness and gotten to you. Then there's the other stuff that they ship out to the other stores further away, a few hours away or whatever, and they gas those fruits and vegetables for the color, but they never mature in flavor. So when you buy like tomato or whatever, it doesn't really have a taste to it. You know, when you buy fruits and vegetables at a port, you're going to get the best stuff. If you buy it away, you're going to get the worst stuff, right? So there's that, you know. And so I learned everything I could from the people that worked there and whatever, and including gassing fruits and what to do and what, whatever, man. And then when I was young, also my family, man, they used to, like my grandmother, you know, my mom, you'd be buying produce, you sniff the end of the fruit, and if you smell that smell, what it's supposed to smell like, you buy it. If you don't smell it, it means it's not ripe, you know. So anyway, that's the world of knowing what's ripe and what's not ripe. And when you buy a cereal to feed your children, and it's called Sugar Smacks, I think that you understand it's got loads of sugar. And you look at the ingredients on there, and the, you know, ingredients are put in by, you know, first if they're wet ingredients or dry ingredients, and then by weight, you know. So the top ingredients are the heaviest ingredients in that food, right? So when you look at the stuff, and you look at the sugar, they just coat everything in sugar and feed it to the children. You wonder why there's generations that have unbelievable problems, you know, even with cancer and things like that, right? Nobody takes them to task. There's no congressional task force that's going after Kellogg's or General Mills, you know. And me personally, I stay away far away from the big manufacturers because I don't trust them. And I don't care who they are. I don't care what their name is. I don't trust them. Purdue, don't trust them. Tyson, I don't trust them. The more you see Tyson commercials telling you to trust them, the more you don't want to trust them. You know, so if you're going to be that type of person, just not really care, that's different. You know, you can throw caution to the wind. People do. It's a big world full of a lot of people. Population growing, not getting any smaller, right? So you can make those poor decisions because you're going to cycle out and whatever. And it doesn't matter what your quality of life is compared to other people because you're living in your own skin. So these are your decisions, you know. But it's funny how, like, I know a lot of health food conscious people. And they're all so sickly, and that's kind of interesting. And then you had my mom's generation, who was the meat and potatoes generation. I mean, these guys grew up, you know, they were young in the 50s, a different time, especially for food. These companies weren't allowed to poison you as easily as they are now, having these chemicals approved by the FDA. And you know the FDA, what happens to those guys? They end up working for these companies. In the end, you can't trust any of them. So, but I want to talk about people's anger, especially when you're dealing with people who are crazy. Men are really the brunt of a lot of people's anger these days. And this is set afire by the media. You know, when they get fixated, especially the whole politically correct thing, they get fixated on the man did it. Toxic masculinity. The man did it. And what do men do? You know, you're always going to have people who do terrible things, male and female. But for the most part, it's the men who are the inventors, the ones who run the systems out there, the ones who will tow your car away if you're in a ditch, the ones who are running your power systems, the ones who are, you know, basically coming up with everything you need to come up with to live. Right? And also doing a lot of heavy manual labor, you know, but there's roles for everybody. That doesn't mean women are bad. It just means that there's a necessity for both groups and you can't play one down. And I think the media is just taking so many liberties of making the, you know, men look like a bunch of idiots, which we're not, you know, and I resent the way men are portrayed in this country. Because it's not correct. And you know what? It's not going to work out well for them either. So this is a case about a woman. This guy was breaking up with her. And they had a marriage. He wanted to end it because she was out of her mind. And then she ends up setting him on fire after they had a talk about ending the marriage, right? It happened in Wisconsin, you know? So hours after a woman believed her husband had poisoned her chicken wings, she set him on fire while he slept, according to Wisconsin police. The man suffered extensive second to third degree burns and told officers his wife's weird behavior was the result of discussions that he had planned to end the marriage. Tehonsti Mary Smith, Marie, Tehonsti Marie Smith, 29 years old, was charged with arson of a building, recklessly endangering safety and mayhem, and domestic abuse. Her husband, Henry Williams, detailed the events that took place before his wife's alleged attack. Williams, who had been in a relationship with Smith for 8 years, said he had been walking on eggshells with his wife for several months. Man, I know what that is like, walking on eggshells. When Williams returned from work to their Milwaukee home on June 2nd, Smith would not speak to him, police said. She continuously was walking in circles, which Williams said was out of character. Later that night, the two got into an argument when Williams said he planned to move out of the home without her. Police said, "I am leaving without you. Bye." It's probably just best to kind of do it and not let those repercussions happen, unless it's like a mutual agreement, you know. Williams had been discussing getting a divorce with Smith for a couple of weeks, and the husband said his wife's weird behavior increased after he informed her of his decision. Williams took their three-month-old to her crib before midnight, and he went to bed between 1 and 1:30 a.m. A few hours later, he awakened to the back of his head on fire, police said. He immediately went to the bedroom of their child, who was sleeping at Williams' parents' house, and tried to put out the fire with his bare hands. So she set fire to him, the house, her baby's in the house, his parents in the house, and she didn't care, right? Obviously. So he realized that the bedroom, including a mattress, was on fire. The fire was so fierce, he ran back into his bedroom and grabbed his daughter from her crib into his room. This guy's thought was the kid. I love that, man. You gotta just love that. The dude is dashing off to get the kid. He's on fire. You get the kid. And then he ran out the front door, man. Williams said he did not realize how badly he was burned until he arrived his parents' home, and then they called 911. He suffered burns to his neck and upper chest, ears, back of his head, both hands, as well as blistering to the right side of his face. Smith was the only other person at the home with Williams and the baby. She corroborated most of Williams' account of the incident and admitted to police she set his head on fire. Smith stated this morning she started eating chicken wings and thought Henry poisoned them. Smith stated she waited until Henry was asleep and she poured some lighter fluid from the closet in a cup where he was sleeping and ignited him with a lighter. During a court hearing Wednesday, a judge ordered Smith to undergo competency examination. Of course, so she's going to go in there, and they're going to say she's crazy. Then she's going to get locked up into a short-term facility, be out in 4 or 5 months, and, you know, set some other dude on fire, right? If that was a dude, if that was a man that did that to a female, then the guy would be getting locked up for attempted murder. So, it's just interesting to note what I'm seeing going on in courts these days. He said that he's just glad to get the baby out and that he was going to be okay, you know? So, men get the hard rap, you know? And this is just one of a million stories these days. You notice the uptick also of females in crime? I mean, wow, I'm seeing so much of that. It's just, you know, do you think it's being encouraged by the media and by the movements out there that's going on, if you can call them that, right? And then look at Paige Spiranak. This is the double-edged sword that is the media, you know. A male can't go on. This is going to sound like a male versus female show, but a male can't go on the news or social media and talk about a woman's, you know, junk flopping in the breeze, you know what I mean? But this woman can. And there's a lot of reasons why she can. So Paige Spiranak, of course, Paige Spiranak is a golfer, very attractive golfer, you know. She gets away with a lot because she's very attractive. She likes to show her boobs all the time. Women that do that kind of make me laugh, you know, because it's so primitive, you know what I mean? And it's a primitive flaunt, and it's a primitive, they're looking for a primitive reaction off of guys like, oh, boobs. And sometimes, you know what, no matter how evolved you are as a male, and this is why I know that aliens will never talk to us, not for a million years, because guys are very freaking simple, and so are women. And our needs are all simple, right? You know, that's why a girl goes by, she's wearing those yoga pants, got a little tight booty going on. Of course, guys are going to look at it. Well, but what are you looking at? It's somebody's behind. It's not really known for anything fantastic, you know. I mean, for sitting on, using to go to the bathroom and things like that, if you want to get serious. But it's a sexuality that people are attracted to, right? And the ones who show it off, you see it on social media all the time, like these women with their boobs hanging out. And no matter what they look like, they just have to have their boobs hanging out to get a huge reaction out of whomever that's going to be out there. If they need that kind of attention, there's no depth in that type of thing. It's only a very simple attention. Ooh, I need attention, right? But anyway. Paige Spivak gets loads of attention. She's a good golfer, very attractive, like I said. It figures in. If she didn't look the way she looks, she wouldn't get the attention that she gets. So, and that's also a very clear reality of the media, you know, how it's geared. I like these commercials, you know. I see that the women's movement and all these other groups are saying, you know, full-figured women are in, they're beautiful. It's just that's kind of the politically correct tagline. But when you look at commercials, especially for the day after pill or all these other things, all these girls are models. They look like models. And another thing about commercials, they used to depict people in their true form of their true income level in their true homes with their products. Now, no matter what color they are, no matter what they're doing, they're wealthy. They're all wealthy people. And they're, you know, the backdrops are these beautiful homes that cost not little tiny apartments or whatever. These people are, or if they're driving a car, some high-end $100,000 automobile, you know, it's not true to self, but is that making the Joneses Jones for more or for better? And I think it could be damaging to very simple people. You know, if you can judge society on what's on television, then things are pretty bad out there, you know? All right. So Paige Spivak. Paige Spivak doesn't want to hear any backlash about her cleavage anymore after this bizarre sighting. Okay, she said, I just watched a dude run with his nutsack out for 300 meters in the NCAA championship. The golf star tweeted last Friday. So she tweeted this nutsack hanging out of his pants, right? Nutsack. She didn't get banned off of Twitter for saying that. You know, she has her big following, right? And she said, I don't want anyone complaining about my cleavage anymore because she likes to show her boobs. The social media sensation is often on the receiving end of lewd comments about her flashy and revealing style on and off the green. You see, I, for one, I don't criticize people. I know it sounds kind of funny since that's what I'm doing now, basically. But me personally, I don't care what you do as long as you're not hurting anything or anybody. You want to go around wearing a Tarzan outfit? Go ahead. You want to dress up like a pirate? Do it. Dress up like a cowboy, cowgirl? That's fine. I don't care what you do. You know, you want to go out and show your boobs? Wear skirts real short, show your legs? I love it. I have no problem. I don't watch golf. And if she's sitting there hitting a golf ball with her boobies hanging out, I might watch that part, maybe for 2 seconds until that whole primitiveness, I shake it if I can. You know, you got to just jerk it out of your system in a way. So Spiranak was watching the heats of the men's 300 meter steeplechase race at the NCAA championship in Eugene, Oregon on Friday night when she spotted a BYU athlete, Garrett Marsing's unmentionables in his short shorts. She followed up with, "He came in fourth, I blame the balls." Kind of funny. Saying that testicles are not aerodynamic, she doesn't understand balls. Spiranak recalled the funny moment a few days later on her Playing a Round podcast in an episode titled Nuts Out. So she's focused on the guy's testicles, right? And she's making fun of it. She's rounding his balls on in the media. Here's his name. This is where he's from. Of course, you know, the guy's got, he's got to live. He's got to deal with people on the team. You know how guys are on teams or anybody. But the woman doesn't care about any of that. She just thinks it's hysterically funny that the guy's nuts were hanging out. So she is going to bust those nuts and get every dollar. She's going to squeeze the milk out of those nuts until there's nothing left, you know, into her bank account. So she goes on. So I look down and I figure out his nutsack is dangling in the wind. It's just hanging there, flapping back and forth, she recalled. Here's a picture of her with her boobies hanging out, nice short dress, pretty little, pretty girl. You know what I mean? It's funny, but then I thought about it because guys will always tell me to cover up. So she made it about herself, of course, you know. Got to drag the guy's nuts into it, making it about herself. It's telling me to cover up, and that's where no equivalent. But you see now, it's her decision to show her boobs and flaunt what she has temporarily. Her decision, right? This guy didn't flop his balls out and start running the race. I mean, it was a mistake. I don't know why he couldn't feel his balls in the breeze. You know what I mean? That's kind of interesting, especially since, you know, most balls don't get to be in the breeze. It's not like a natural feeling unless you are like a nude runner or something, man. But most guys don't experience that unless they're driving down the road and take their pants off. So something, get the wind, the wind in your hair, you know. What's that whistling sound? Don't worry. No worries. Just be calm. Okay, so now the woman says, could you imagine if a girl was running and her tit popped out? Spiranak asked. That would be all over social media. It would, see, now she's wrong. It would be all over those shows like that MTV show where those guys, you know, laugh at people's misfortune in these videos. People like that dude in bed on fire, they'd be like, oh, ho, ho, ho. And, you know, that type of thing. It would be on those lame shows. It wouldn't be on the news because they'd be afraid to talk about a woman's boob popping out because it'd be a whole bunch of politically correct things jammed up behind there, especially if it happened by accident. She's a victim, they would say. Her boob popped out. Her breast. They wouldn't even say tit because it's derogatory slang for the breast. Her breast popped out, that poor victim. And everyone saw it and sexualized her over it. You don't think anybody in the media, not CNN or Fox, they would avoid that. Like they avoid that Hunter Biden man, CNN anyway. Avoid it. They don't want any part of that. They don't get sued or be hated upon. So really, it's a double-edged sword, but it's not. For some, You know, because if that was a woman running and it wasn't Habib, but what if it was, you know, that down below and they popped out and was whistling in the breeze, flapping or something. Hey, man, you'd never be able to talk about it. You'd never hear about it. Maybe on some Filipino news channel or something, you know, maybe some, you know, Polish news channel. You would never hear it in on American media, because that's something you stay away from far, far, far away. A guy and his testicles, oh, they nail that to the wall with a 10-penny nail, pop, 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 and put it on display. Have all kinds of jokes like this woman. Meanwhile, the poor guy's probably ready to commit suicide. Although still, I don't know how you didn't know his balls were hanging out running down the street. You know what I mean? Know what I mean? Could you imagine if her tit popped out all over social media for sale? These people's OnlyFan type of thing. I don't even know who partakes in that. You gotta be pretty. You know what? You have to be pretty lowly, desperate, sadly desperate to want to give people money to see their vaginas or their boobs or whatever. I mean, that's really. I know it's a long business. I mean, you know, you have your strip bars, you've got your porno, you get all the other stuff. But the OnlyFans thing is even funnier. And they have these legions of fans. You know, it's just interesting what humans have devolved into with technology, what they're willing to sacrifice, right, of themselves. Anyway, that's my enlightened moment of the show. Now back to the show. Back to the balls flopping in the wind. As a comedian, I can say these things, though. See, that's the beauty. That's like a disclaimer. As soon as you say you're a comedian, you can say the most outrageous, messed up stuff, and people will laugh, you know? You call him an asshole, I'll be like, ah, you're funny. You're so funny. All right. Let's see. Spirinak calls the situation a double standard, adding that she, I mean, there's a picture of his balls hanging out. And here he is, like, walking with his balls hanging out. You don't think one of his, like, the other teammates, like, dude, you know, your balls are hanging out. Or they don't look there. Everyone looks there. It's like a natural thing to look at people. Of course, this guy's all smiling. Apparently so. He just aerated his balls, man. It's a very fresh feeling, you know? In other news, Spirinak is attending this week's U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, where she's excited to reveal her event look. You can be sure she'll be showing her boobs. She should do the entire event with, like, prosthetic balls hanging out of her shorts. You know what? That's something I would watch, man. That's something be worth watching. I'd be worth at least 5 minutes. Just seeing the reaction from people, you know. The first round of the U.S. Open starts tomorrow. And I'm so excited, she tweeted. It's my first time going. I set my outfit. Everything is... I love girls like that. I gotta say, man, I really do. The ones who like take time with their look, and she's like, I set my outfit. That is just so endearing to me. I love her. I love this girl. She says, I have everything ready and probably won't sleep. That's cute. Not as cute as her talking about balls, but cute. So you know what? Maybe the guy will be like, hey, it was funny and let it go, or it could go horribly wrong. The power of the media, it can be a damaging thing for regular old people when they get, you know, it's one thing if you're in the media and you're always in the media and then it's a normal thing, you know, to get pushed around or dragged through or whatever. If you're just some Joe Schmo with your balls hanging out in a race, that's the kind of situation you want to downplay. But if you look at the media in general and the shows that are popular, they more have to do with the dismantling of society, these court TV shows or CSI, heavy crimes. You know, you know, it's just a fraction of mankind, but, you know, it really is people at their lowest moment. And you should have heartfelt sorrow for that, you know, or if they're really messed up, you should want them to be locked up where they can't hurt anybody. There's that type of stuff too. So, Kate Hudson, she dealt with the pandemic pretty well. Kate Hudson is psyched to count sex as a workout. And another thing, when a lot of these aging Hollywood stars, they've got nothing else to do but show some boobs or whatever they got left, you know. You know, that's all you see, even from like a Miley Cyrus who is out of the public eye. And then here's the big news story. Miley Cyrus in a thong takes a selfie of herself wearing a thong. And it puts him out there. You see all the, you know, Britney Spears shows, you know, herself in some little bikini. And I'm thinking, how desperate, you know, and the media just absorbs it. They have publicists. They have people that are going to go out there and push it, man. You know, they absorb it. But who is really the person who's going to look at Miley Cyrus in her thong besides me? Who are the people that do that? You know, it's terrible, man. Terrible. So it's just more of the same. When it comes down to, it's not their talent they're trying to push. Oh, I got a new song, new album, new this, new that. No, instead, you know, look at me in my thong. And she's not known for that, but she's known for that. You know what I mean? The same for all of them, right? Or, you know, look how hot J-Lo looks at 50 years old. You know, that's great. But do you really want people to say that about you? You look great for your age. Ugh, I don't want to hear that. I hate hearing that. So Kate Hudson is getting hot and bothered about her workout routine. Hudson posted a video on Instagram, OnlyFans, of course, Wednesday to share some exciting news. The former Weight Watchers app just added sex as a workout. So Weight Watchers desperate. Going to put sex in there. Most of the people going to Weight Watchers can't even have sex. Well, nobody wants to have sex with them. Something like that. Which is why they're going to Weight Watchers. Hey, guys. I've got some really interesting news that I'm very excited about right now. The Weight Watchers ambassador told her followers in a cheeky clip. So, of course. She's a Weight Watchers ambassador. They pay her big bucks to put stuff out there. So, she's going to talk about this. If Weight Watchers didn't pay her any money, she wouldn't be talking about this. So it's an ad, right? If anyone needs me, I'm going to be in my bedroom for a good, I'm going to say, hour and 20 minutes if he can handle it. Hudson then attempted to calculate how many Weight Watcher points she could earn with some alone time with her partner, Danny Fujikawa. Probably not much. I don't know. If he's used to, you know, people get used to each other pretty quick. We're that initial performer. You know, when you first meet someone, it's Cirque du Soleil. You know what I mean? You're woohoo up on the rope and back and forth and slinging around and all that. After a while, it becomes like Netflix, you know, Netflix and chill, you know? So, yeah, poor Danny Fuji. Kawa, he's got to be dragged into this Weight Watchers BS. An hour and 20 minutes, which actually is not very long. It depends on what you're including, man. You know what I mean? Because there's a before, during, and after. Input, process, output, let's just say. So, and then repeat, like shampoo. According to Weight Watchers, a new Fit application edition, let's see. Me having sex for an hour and 20 will equal, and she's like, I'm terrible at math, 6 fit points. Meanwhile, she pre-planned this whole thing. Like, such a fake thing. Oh, I'm terrible at math. Even though I'm reading from a script. 6 fit points, she determined. See you in 2 hours. So how many brownies can you eat off of an hour and 20 minutes worth of sex? Can you actually eat the brownie during sex and then have more sex to burn the brownie off? So I have lots of questions for Kate Hudson. I need her to answer these questions, man. I'm interested in this. So the 42-year-old hit the wall. Excuse me, became a Weight Watchers ambassador in 2018 when nobody else wanted to do it. I mean, after giving birth to her third child, Hudson also co-founded the athleisure brand Fabletics in 2013 and launched her 100% plant-based supplement line in Bloom last year. That's what these women do. And she's not even, like, known for being famous. She's daughter, man? Goldie Hawn. She's trying to remake all the Goldie Hawn movies, and she can't because they're classics. Overboard, classic, man, you know? That's who Kate Hudson is, right? So they become health gurus. But they were never healthy, these people. They're the Hollywood set. You know, they live in trailers and eat food that, you know, was cooked for them. They don't know what the hell's in there. You know, it's like Jennifer Paltrow with her vagina candle. You know, I think that they lose their goddamn minds after 35. I think when they hit the wall and they realize they're going down, they're spiraling down, they try to maintain their youth. They're going to cake on all the makeup and get plastic surgeries and all these things to try to keep up with some demand, you know, and you can't fight youth. They are your replacement. There's someone coming to replace you. Be happy about it and relax. You know what I mean? So now she's a health guru. I could be a health guru. You know what? For $500 an hour, I will have a one-on-one life coach session with anyone out there. $500 an hour. How's that? I'll talk to you for an hour. I'll probably call you a bunch of names like Dr. Phil. But that's all part of the therapy in session, all right? Just keep that in mind. So now she says, sex will burn calories by the numbers you deplete. Relies on a few factors, including how many calories you burn, an average during. You know what? It's also like, it's not just one type of sex. You know what I mean? Like if you're doing it on a running machine, you burn way more calories, you know, or a stair climber, you know? I mean, way more. And some people are more athletic in bed than others. Some people kind of just want to kind of just be there. Where other people are willful participants in, you know, like I said, Cirque du Soleil or something like that. Dr. Tiju Adigok, Dr. Tiju Adigok, assistant professor of gynecology at Boston Medical Center, and founder of Wish Wellness and Sexual Health, told Women's Day that the number one burns, depends a little bit on your weight, but adding it depends a little bit on your current cardiovascular endurance, and it probably depends on the exact activity you're engaging in. See, I just said that, and I'm not a doctor, so you're welcome. You're welcome. Here's a picture of Kate Hudson in her dress. And according to several experts who spoke with Women's Day, these are the average numbers of calories that are burned during sexual activity based on body weight of a 150-pound woman. Kissing, 68 calories per hour. You see, was that, all right, making out, 230 calories per hour. But what if you're making out and you're using like whipped cream and strawberries and stuff, man? You see, there's variables, man. Variables, you know? Massaging, 80 calories per hour. But is that the person getting massaged or the person giving the massage? Because I give a massage, you know what I mean? And it, you put a lot into it. You break a sweat in no time at all giving that massage. So I think these numbers are way off, man. Giving oral sex, 100 calories per half hour. Also, I think it depends on the ultimate size and the length of things, you know, as to how much you have to perform, you know, or if it's the other way around, you know what I mean? Maybe 50 calories per hour using your hands, 100 calories per hour. What about using your feet? So, you know, they don't have a classification for that. Or having sex, 69 calories an average during a 25-minute session, while men burned 100 calories. So women, 69, men, 100. Right there, it proves that there's an imbalance. Now, why do you think? You know why? Because men are utilities. They're like, get to it. That's it. They smack their hand. Get to it. And you got to get to it. Burn those calories. Sadly, by comparison, a study published in a New England Journal of Medicine, not Women's Day, clocked the average session of sexual activity at only about 6 minutes. In and out, 6 minutes, and then you're eating a sandwich at minute number 7, man. That's yeah, 6 minutes, and then it's pudding. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, according to Dr. Daniel Vigil, oh my God, I almost read that. My dyslexia saw something. I'm not dyslexic, of course, but I blame it on everything because it's just something to blame things on. Dr. Daniel V. Vigil. There's just too much going on there. An associate clinical professor. At Health Sciences at David Geffen School, the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Oh, what a crazy world this is. A general estimate for calories burned while running 1 mile is approximately 100 calories. You would think it would be more to run a whole freaking mile. I'd rather have sex. You know what I mean? If I'm going to burn that 100 calories. But then you get like the voracious appetite after. So anyway, I think we've talked about enough of this. With Kate Hudson. Is she really Goldie Hawn's daughter? Let me look it up, man, and make sure my crazy brain. I know. It's just, I don't watch these people. You know what I mean? And I see them. Yeah, see Kate Hudson's mother, Goldie Hawn. I see these people in like this tabloid crap as I'm checking out of the supermarket. And that kind of just sticks with me. So that's how I know who they are, kind of, sort of. And they're always doing something like really messed up or whatever. They're distorted in some way. So good. Now, she doesn't have a vagina candle like Gwyneth Paltrow, man, you know. But you see, if it was a male and they had like a penis candle, that would be banned probably everywhere, right? So if when it comes to decency, there needs to be guidelines that apply equally to everyone. And I'll just leave that with that. No matter what you think decency is, it's always everybody's own level of things, right? But I'll leave it there. I'm going to end the show on that note on the Red Pill News. Sleep with one eye open. If you told your girl you want a divorce or you want to break up with him, it's probably best to do it over the phone, you know, or texting these days. You know, I don't want to be with you anymore! !! And then when they go nuts, you're not there to burn up. You're not there to be light on fire, man. So you need to be careful when you deal with people who are unbalanced. Anyway, I'm going to end the show. Me, Michael Angley, in the great state of Pennsylvania, man, outside of Gettysburg. I am going to tell you guys to be cool, be kind, rewind. Kindness wins the day. I'll see you next week on this here show, the United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans. Jones, 104.7 Pass Christian, saying, ¿Qué pasa?
Here we are in the writers and illustrators of the Feature Lounge at the Author Services Building in Hollywood. It contains a gallery of the writer and illustrator judges, a selection of the awards the contests have received, a library containing novels and art books published by winners and judges, and a selection of photos of some of our beloved keynote speakers and guests. For nearly four decades, L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Feature contest has discovered and nurtured a steady stream